This is Evolutionary Radio. We are coming at you live from the Evolutionary Radio headquarters. It's just me and Steve tonight. As always, this is your host, Trevor Kuritzen, and my co-host, Steve Smee, is checking in.
Yes, I am checking in, guys. How's everyone doing out there? You know, life's tough, man. Let me tell you something. One of my neighbors has a serious cancer problem, and it is terminal. So they only have a month or two to live. So I think we all know somebody that has cancer or has diabetes or something. So it just gives you a reason to feel blessed for those of you who have your health out there and a motivation to stay healthy, eat good, exercise, and do all that stuff. I'm sure, Trevor, you know someone also who has cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and
my grandma died of cancer, so definitely hits home for me.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's an epidemic, and no matter what happens in life, I personally have been having a tough time myself with work. This has been a really bad year for me. It's been a bad year for a lot of people because you know, a lot of industries have been getting hit hard right now. You know, with
I got something that'll cheer you up, Steve. Okay, so you know how Winnipeg is in the playoffs right now, and like people in Winnipeg are insane Jets fans, right? Steve, are you
there? Yeah, Winnipeg's doing really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Winnipeg's doing really good. So we have this thing called whiteout. I don't really know who started it, but basically everyone at the game and everyone, you know, outside the stadium who's in the street party wears white. So literally, there will be 30,000 people in the stadium and about 20,000 people outside the stadium, all wearing white. Like literally every single person is wearing completely white. And when I say white, I mean white shoes, white pants, white shirts. Like people in Winnipeg are diehards, right? I'm sure you've seen some of the photos, right? Everyone's completely dressed in white.
Mm-hmm.
People even are face painting their faces white, things like that. One guy wore a Where's Waldo outfit. It's absolutely hilarious. It made the front page of the Winnipeg Sun. It made the front page of our newspaper.
Only in Canada do people do corny stuff like that.
Literally there's a sea of people. Like there's 20,000 people and everyone's dressed in white, and then there's this one guy.
It's probably you too that did it. You were probably the one. You would do something like that, Trevor.
I have no idea who thought of that, but that is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Lightning fan, so since you're on the Winnipeg bandwagon, if they play each other in the Stanley Cup, then we got some trash talking to do.
Whatever. I'll just find a new podcast co-host.
No, you'll just hop on the other team's bandwagon the way you are. I remember a year ago you were Edmonton, and now you're Winnipeg. So
I was living in Edmonton then.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
I root for whatever team I'm living in. If I moved to Florida, I'd cheer for Tampa, Florida.
Really? I would stick with my team no matter where I live, bro. So I'm a real fan. No offense. No, I'm kidding. But that's good. Yeah, you're a homer. It's called being a homer wherever you live.
Okay. Topic number one. Do you want to go ahead and introduce it, Steve?
So this is one. I feel like this is very common. Okay. So in this guy's situation, he's 26 years old. He ran when he was about 21. He ran Test Winstrol and Test Tren, but he didn't take time in between the cycles. So let's say he ran, you know, 12 or 16 weeks, and then he only took 4 weeks in between. Then he hopped on a second cycle for another 12 or 16 weeks. So essentially he ran, if you include the esters, steroids, for almost a year straight, okay, with no break. So since then, he's had a problem, and he didn't run, you know, a PCT. He didn't run blood work, and since then, he's had a problem. So he ran blood work, and his test levels are really low. He's saying he's having problems with the sex. He's saying his body hair isn't growing like it used to. His erections aren't good, blah, blah, blah. So he's like, he wants to know what should he do. He's like, should I run more HCG? Should I try to restart my HPTA? Blah, 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 blah. Should I run Clomid for a month? He's getting all kinds of advice. So I feel like this is something we hear a lot of. And Trevor, you went through this because you abused steroids when you were young. And this guy basically, so what happened with this guy when he was 21, I'll put it in layman terms, he basically shut himself down for almost a year. And when you do that, it's very hard to recover from, especially when you run steroids at a young age, or any age really, if you run steroids, but especially when your hormones are kind of still changing, okay? And your hormones continue to change. Your brain doesn't even develop till you're 25. So if you run steroids, you know, abuse steroids at a young age, it's going to be very hard to recover from, and you're going to start noticing these problems. So, you know, I'm rambling, but Trevor, you know, give your thoughts on it, and I'll kind of give you my thoughts as well, because you went through this.
Okay, so there's a couple of mistakes here at fault. You know, number one, he was way too young to be using steroids. And then number two, the longer you are on steroids, the harder it is for your natural testosterone production to restart after you go off them, right? It's kind of like if you have a car that you haven't, you know, driven in 20 months, chances are you're going to try to drive it and nothing's going to go. You know, you're going to need a boost. Same thing is true. You know, if you're running a 10-week cycle, your body's shut down for 10 weeks, but then if you run a proper PCT, you've only been suppressed for 10 weeks, so your body will be able to bounce back pretty effectively. But I mean, if you're shut down for, you know, close to a year, it's going to be really, really hard for your body to restart your natural testosterone production after that. And then when you're really young, your body's still going through puberty and it's in a very delicate hormonal balance. So it really just kind of throws like a Hail Mary at the body. It's such a bad idea. We, you know, we see young guys running steroid cycles all the time and every single one lives to regret it. So because this guy is so young, I would really recommend getting professional help, you know, going to an endocrinologist, because you're probably going to want to have kids later on in life. And if you get on testosterone replacement therapy, especially at such a young age, you're probably going to become infertile. So what I would do is I would go to an endocrinologist, be completely honest and say, hey, I screwed up. I used steroids for a year straight when I was 21. Now I'm going through major issues. I can't get an erection. I feel terrible. The first thing the endocrinologist is going to do is, okay, let's get blood work done. You know, blood work will come back. The LH, FH, FSH, testosterone will all probably be very, very low. So then the endocrinologist will probably prescribe you Clomid. Try that. See if that'll restart your natural testosterone production. If it doesn't, you're probably going to have to go the TRT route. But again, you want to be doing this with an endocrinologist, especially if you're so young. I mean, if you're starting TRT in your mid-20s, I mean, you're going to be on TRT the rest of your life. So, I mean, this is something you definitely want your doctor's help with. You don't want to be self-diagnosing this. You want to be getting blood work continuously done. So that would be my advice. I'm on doctor-prescribed TRT. Every 6 months, I have to get blood work. It's an injection I have to do once per week for the rest of my life, but I'm very glad that I'm honest with my doctor and I have a very good relationship with my doctor just to make sure that I'm healthy and everything like that. You know, doctors aren't as educated as people think when it comes to things like hormones, but at the end of the day, they do have your best interests in mind. So they will give you blood work, you know, things like that. So I really, really feel you should seek out an endocrinologist. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, we're on different ends on this, Trevor. I don't know, maybe because you're in Canada or something, but what you said there about doctors have your best interests at heart is far from it. I mean, I just told you a story about my neighbor who has cancer. Well, they've been to so many different doctors and the doctors are misdiagnosing them. The doctor caused them to die from this cancer because they misdiagnosed them. Because they said that they didn't have cancer when they really did. So no, doctors don't have your best thing at heart. If you're in the United States, it's not the way our healthcare works. Your healthcare works differently up there. Our healthcare is all about profit. So telling this guy to go to an endocrinologist, what are they going to do? Put you on Clomid? You can't restart your HPTA. Drugs will not restart your HPTA. If that was true, then you wouldn't be on TRT, Trevor, because you ran Clomid and then it didn't do anything for you. All Clomid does is temporarily cause a rise in your LH, FSH, and total testosterone by manipulating your pituitary glands into producing those hormones. So when you stop taking the Clomid, what's going to happen is you're going to crash. You cannot restart your HPTA. Only your own body can repair itself. So in this guy's case, from an emotional standpoint, he's driving himself crazy, going and getting blood work, going and stressing out over this, listening to people on forums telling him to run HCG and run Clomid and all this stuff. He's actually screwing himself up so bad mentally and physically from this. So the best thing this guy can do is just chillax, okay? Stop stressing out over it, all right? And let your body repair itself. You know, run a natural testosterone booster like HC Generate or N2 Generate and give your body a chance to repair. The body is the best self-repair thing you could do. So you need to give it a chance to repair. Running a bunch of drugs and roller coasting your hormones is not going to fix you. You did that, Trevor. You did that for a year, as I recall, and it did not fix you. So this guy, all it's going to do is just roller coaster his hormones. Well, if he runs HCG, that is a hormone. Okay? That's an estrogen. That's a hormone. It's just going to screw him up more. So do not do that. That's what the doctor is probably going to want to put him on. And that will boost your testosterone, but it will also suppress you in the process. So I don't think that's the solution in this situation. We're too quick to hop on drugs to fix our problems, and no drug can fix your HPTA. Only your own body can fix your HPTA.
I think a low dose of Clomid would help his situation. If his FH and LS, if his LH and FSH are zero and have been zero for about a year, his pituitary is fried. So, you know, the Clomid will, you know, sense a false signal to, you know, increase LH and FSH, but it'll kind of get the gears working again. And it'll kind of get his body producing LH and FSH, yeah, even though it's an artificial means.
But his it's not at zero. He's actually, his test levels are between 300 and 400. So he is producing hormones, okay, just at a low level, just as a low level.
Okay. I didn't know that. If it, then I would say, yeah, he just needs to chill out and give his body. But I mean, if he was like completely shut down, then I would say, yeah, run a little bit of Clomid to kind of get things working again.
In that situation, you have nothing to lose. The thing is, half of 25-year-olds in North America, if they ran their test levels, they would have those types of test levels. Agree or not? And it's because of the electronics, it's because of the social media, it's because the poor lifestyle and all the stuff, all the food we're eating. So this is a common problem. Yeah, exactly. And that goes hand in hand with the electronics and social media because we waste so much time on that shit. So, I mean, it's an epidemic and it's a problem, but if you stress yourself out, you're just going to make the situation worse. When I was in my early and mid-20s, I never even tested my test levels. I didn't give a shit. I was just trying to chase pussy. So if you're going to stress out over something, you will actually make yourself more sick and you will never recover. It's such an emotional thing. Anything with health is so emotional. I feel like, you know, I just feel like this type of thing, like everyone wants a drug to fix their problem, and their problem cannot be fixed with a drug. That's the frustrating part for me. And you know what I'm saying? I just don't agree with it.
I agree with exactly what you said. At the end of the day, a healthy body is one that's going to feel good. You're going to have a lot of energy. You're going to have a healthy level of muscle mass. You're going to have healthy levels of testosterone. You got to take care of yourself. You know, that's what it really comes down to. It means eating well. It means minimizing stress. It means drinking lots of water. It means exercising. It means getting good quality sleep. It means doing things you enjoy. It means being conscious of your thoughts, you know, having a positive attitude. You know, I see all these people with low testosterone and, you know, they blame this or they blame that. But then when you ask questions about their diets are horrendous. When you ask questions about their sleep, they're sleeping only a couple hours per night. They're very stressed. You know, they don't exercise. So it's no wonder your testosterone levels are are low. You know what I mean? You're not taking care of yourself. It's like anything in life. You get out what you put in. So our second topic, we actually had a listener question. Summer's coming up. You know, most people are planning their summer vacations right now. He asked you, Steve, he said, where would you suggest a vacation with a new girlfriend? This would be their first vacation together. Do you have any sort of ideas, suggestions, things like that?
I would say, first of all, don't go on vacation too early in the relationship. Give it a few months. If you go too soon, it kind of sets the bar high, because then, you know, she's going to want you to take her on vacation often, you know, 2-3 times a year, you know? So I wouldn't do that soon. I'd wait till you're in a really established relationship before you do that. I think there just depends on where you live. I know where, you know, if you live where Trevor lives in, you know, snowy climate, you know, it's like nasty and cold almost year round, then a good option for you would be take a trip to the Caribbean with her and get an all-inclusive adult resort. Okay. And this way you guys can enjoy it. It's free food, free drinks, all-inclusive. Only thing you got to pay extra for is like excursions when you go off the resort. So any of the Caribbean destinations, you have Cuba, you have the Dominican Republic, you have Jamaica, you have Mexico. Those are really good places and they're cheap. So you can get a really good, you know, you can go on a really good vacation and it wouldn't cost you very much. The expensive part would be the flight. You know, the flight would be the expensive part, but you can get a nice all-inclusive resort for like $300 a night. So if you go there for 4 nights, that's like $1,200 for 2 people with food included and everything included. You really can't beat that. So that would be an option. Another option is a road trip. You know, if she's into sports, like you and your situation, Trevor, and you lived a few hours away or a couple hours away or an hour away from Winnipeg, where Winnipeg plays, for example, you could take her to the hockey game for the weekend. And you guys could get a hotel room for a day, a night or two, a nice cottage or a nice romantic cottage, whatever. And then you can take her to the hockey game. And then, you know, you guys would take her for a nice dinner afterwards or whatnot. So there's different options. It depends what she's into. You know, every girl's into different things. Some girls like the island vacation. Some girls like more of a destination like New Orleans, where there's, you know, the food, the music type of atmosphere, the drinking and stuff like that. Some women are into more like California or Colorado out west. You know, the mountains, Napa Valley, you have San Francisco. You got the mountains in Colorado. So everyone's into different things. Find out what she likes and go with it. I don't know, Trevor, what was your ex into?
Well, what I was thinking would be a lot of fun. And I mean, this would be, you'd have to be, have been dating this person for a while, because this would be a pretty significant trip, would be, you know, maybe rent a house in, you know, Italy or something like that for a week, and then kind of just go exploring. You know, maybe one day you could do a road trip. Maybe another day you could, you know, walk the streets, do some shopping, get some groceries, you know, make your own food. Like, I think instead of, you know, going to like a resort, I think just renting a house or maybe staying at like a bed and breakfast type thing would be kind of cool, because then you'd have a little bit more freedom. Because the problem with resorts is that you're kind of stuck at that resort. That's something I would like to do, at least, is, you know, I'd like to get like a hotel. And not a hotel, like rent a condo in Paris for a week, and then, you know, do my own cooking, you know, find a gym nearby, do some shopping, do some exploring, visit some wine yards, things like that.
Well, it works out good for you, Trevor, because you're fluent in French. So it would depend on the language barrier. Because if you went to Italy, you didn't speak Italian, you know, it'd be hard. I don't know. You know, it'd be kind of hard, but Paris would be perfect for you since you're a French speaker. So,
yeah, maybe. I like wine. So our third topic is, what a well-balanced diet looks like. So I just posted my daily diet on evolutionary.org. The name of the thread is called An Example of a Well-Balanced Diet. So I'm not going to go through the whole diet in this podcast, but, you know, for breakfast, I had a cup of egg whites, 3 whole eggs, some oatmeal, some blueberries, and some chia seeds, you know, so had a nice balance of protein, carbs, healthy fats, lots of antioxidants, very anti-inflammatory. And I think a great topic and a great question is, what is an example of, you know, a healthy diet? You know, it, like a lot of people want to improve their diet and know that they should be eating healthier, but they don't even know what health is. You know, they think, so I want to eat healthier. Does that mean I have to eat keto? Does that mean I have to eat paleo? No, like when it really comes down to it, and Steve, I'd be curious to see what your daily diet looks like. You know, a healthy diet is just eating whole, unprocessed, nutrient-rich foods, having a good balance of protein, carbs, and fats, lots of fruits and vegetables for the antioxidants, for the fiber content. You know, stay away from inflammatory foods like soy, gluten, dairy. You know, that's an example of a well-balanced diet. You know, it's nothing magical. So Steve, I'm curious, let me know, what did you have for breakfast and lunch today?
I didn't eat breakfast. I had fish for lunch, fresh caught fish. I cooked it myself. And then I had for dinner, I had some nuts and, blah, 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 blah. That's it. You know, I had a greens powder just now and, that was pretty much my, my diet for today. And, that's pretty much it. I also had some fruit as well. Before dinner, I had fruit, like some oranges.
What did you have with the fish? Like, you didn't just eat fish, did you?
Yeah, just the fish by itself.
You didn't have any like vegetables or any like sweet potatoes with it or anything?
No, I just had the fish today. So I usually, this is, today was a little different because I went fishing. So when I go fishing, you know, I don't really get hungry, man, while I'm fishing. But what I like to do, my typical diet, when I'm doing an intermittent fast, which is what I do most of the week, I'll get up, I'll have my greens powder, water, hydrate. I like to hydrate first thing in the morning. I'm usually dehydrated from not drinking all night. And then I'll intermittent fast. Then lunch, I like to have a guacamole salad, like a big, big salad, and I'll make fresh guacamole, like, which is avocado, tomato, cilantro, lime. You know what I'm saying? Make fresh guacamole, very easy to make. I actually published a recipe. If you guys go, you Google guacamole evolution.org. I have a very easy to do recipe. It costs like $4, okay, to make this, what I'm telling you. Big salad with it. And then I'll go work out. If I work out in the late afternoon, I'll go work out and then I will eat afterwards nuts, cashews, almonds, no oils added, just organic, plain nuts. And then I'll have some fruit in the evening. On days I work out earlier in the day, I'll actually intermittent fast, work out. Then after my workout, I'll have the nuts. And then later that day, I'll have the fish or I'll have the avocado salad. So the breakdown of my macros is actually very, very high in fat. And some days it's like 60% fat. And the protein is very low. So my diet is totally different than the cookie cutter bodybuilding diet of 40-20-20. I'm like 60% fat, 20% protein or 15% protein, and the rest, you know, carbs. I guess the fruit would be the carbs. So, and then of course the avocado also has carbs. So Trevor looks like he's going to have a meltdown.
I'm shocked. It's very, very low protein.
Well, you know, my goals are not to be this perma bulker power lifter anymore. In the old days, you know, my diet was much different, but now it's all about health. lean, being healthy. You know, having a lot of energy, very, very, very energetic, sleeping very well at night. So, it really is, in my view, the healthiest diet I've ever run. So, you know, and, it's really nice. I like to have a papaya, one papaya a day, and I'll eat maybe half of one, you know, one part of the day and half of the other, but papaya is really good. Watermelon is really hard to come by this time of year. Watermelon season doesn't come till summer. So when that comes, I'm a big watermelon person. I like the fruity vegetables. The very wet fruits, the high water content fruits. I feel like they digest easy. They're very easy to digest. So, I mean, it's awesome. When I used to have a high protein diet, my stomach would not feel good. I'd feel bad energy. Stomach wouldn't feel good. So,
one thing I've been doing recently is about an hour before bed, I'll make a cup of green tea. A big cup, like I'm talking 2 cups of boiling water. So for ounces, that's about 20 ounces of boiling water. And I'll pour that over a green tea bag. Well, I actually use loose leaf green tea, but you could use a green tea bag. And one organic lemon sliced up. I let that steep for about an hour, and then I put it in the fridge. And I drink that first thing in the morning. It's like an iced lemon green tea. It's really, really refreshing. Try that, Steve. I think you'd really like it. So before you go to bed, brew some green tea, but you also want to have a sliced up organic lemon in there, because when you pour the boiling water over the lemon, it extracts all the polyphenols and all the beneficial parts of the lemon, and it gets into the water. And then when you drink it first thing in the morning, it just gives you so much energy, and just it's a great way to hydrate. So that's the first thing I do when I wake up, is I'll drink half a liter, about 20 ounces of an iced green tea.
And you sweeten it with stevia?
I don't sweeten it at all. I mean, you could add stevia if you want. I just drink it as it is. Mm-hmm. It has like a nice, it's not sweet, but like a little bit of like a tang to it from the lemon. I like it. It's very pleasant tasting for me. You know, if you have kids with it, you probably want to add a little bit of stevia to it for them.
Right. So the diet that I describe, how would you describe it?
Sounds like a very healthy diet, very anti-inflammatory, you know, rich in fruits and vegetables, lots and lots of good fats. You have some carbs, not too much carbs. And most of the carbs you're getting are very fibrous, you know, things like fruits, vegetables. What you're doing with the protein, I actually agree with, you know, for health, having not like, I think for optimal health, you don't want to totally eliminate animal products from your diet, but you want to limit them. You want to stick with primarily wild caught fish. You know, if you're having grass fed beef, maybe, you know, once or twice that per week, you know, organic free range poultry, maybe once or twice per week. Wild caught fish 2 or 3 times per week.
Yeah. I do grass fed beef maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Most. Yeah.
And I do have pastured, humane friendly eggs. I'll have a couple, you know, here and there, but, yeah, my protein is a lot lower than the cookie cutter, layouts that we see.
I mean, if your goal is optimal health, You obviously need animal protein, but you don't need that much. You really don't need as much protein as people think. Now, if your goal is bodybuilding, physique sculpting, you know what I do, and you want to, you know, as much muscle, as little body fat as possible, then you'd want to bump up the protein content, because protein is very thermogenic. It's very satiating, increases metabolism. But I mean, if your goal is just strictly health, feeling good, having boundless energy, it'd be a diet exactly like you said, you know, very rich in good fats, very rich in fruits and vegetables, very high in greens and antioxidants, some protein, and the protein you do consume, make sure it's very anti-inflammatory and properly raised. I think your diet is great. I just think if your goal is, you know, physique development, it wouldn't be optimal. But if your goal is optimal health, I think it's great. Our next topic is the SARMs bill that it's about to get passed. Steve, I know you wrote an article on this. Tell us a bit about the new SARMs bill that's about to go into legislation.
Okay, so Orrin Hatch is a senator from Utah. And what does Utah have, Trevor? What's the number one industry in Utah? Do you know?
Pharmaceuticals.
No, supplements.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I guess they kind of go hand in hand.
Supplements. And so he is a big proponent of the supplement industry. So supplement industry definitely wants SARMs gone. Any type of competition, they want gone. So the good thing about having Orrin Hatch as a very powerful senator is that we don't have to worry about supplements ever being banned. So as long as they're natural supplements, they're safe, blah, blah, safe, quote unquote, we don't have to worry about them ever going away. In some countries, you know, supplements are really, you know, they really crack down on supplements, but, you know, this situation. But the flip side is the competition for supplements, you know, the pro hormones, the SARMs, the things that are on the edge, you know, of being steroids, they want to get rid of. So that's what's happening. And the bill will go through. And the reason it's going to go through is the way it works is they're going to attach the bill into like a spending bill or into another bill. It could be a veterans bill or something. They'll attach it in there through an amendment. It'll fly right through Congress and then it'll be signed by the president. So when that happens, SARMs will be officially banned in the United States. That means that all these websites selling SARMs, you know, that are taking credit cards or whatever, the few that are still doing it, it's not going to fly anymore. So it's already being cut down quite a bit. 2 years ago, you could go on eBay or Amazon and buy SARMs. Now you cannot. Processing companies are cracking down. They're not letting you sell SARMs anymore. So it's becoming very tough in the industry. So this bill is pretty much going to be the knife, you know, the dagger through the heart of the SARM. So if you still want SARMs, it's going to be completely underground. And from an economic standpoint, you know, it may not be make much sense to buy SARMs anymore because, you know, the price is probably, it's probably going to be tougher for people selling them because they're going to have to go underground, customs and start seizing them more and more. And it would make more sense just to use anabolic steroids. So the future of SARMs looks pretty bleak in that aspect. So, but we, you know, we'll see what happens because I know pro hormones, you know, after they got banned, all the companies stopped selling them and now nobody uses them anymore. So we'll have to see what happens with SARMs.
So we all knew this was coming. How long until you think the bill actually goes into legislation, Steve?
Like I said, it's going to be tied into something like a veterans bill or a spending bill. And Orrin Hatch, he is a Republican, and the Republicans run Congress right now. So he has the power to attach it to any bill he wants. And since the state he represents, Utah, is the number one supplement state in the country, that's the number one industry, he's going to want it in before the end of the year for sure. Because the next election, it looks like the opposing party, the Democrats, are going to take control. So he's going to want to do it before the end of the year for sure. So it will be done by the end of the year. I don't see any reason why it won't.
We kind of already knew this. Like, this was kind of already happening without the bill. You know, more and more SARMs companies were going underground because they're having issues getting credit card merchants. So even if this bill didn't go into legislation, I mean, this was kind of already happening. Like SARMs1.com only takes Western Union and Bitcoin as payment. And more SARM sources are going that route just because it's so hard for them to find credit card merchants. So, yeah.
Yeah, I recommend stocking up. If you like SARMs, this is the time to stock up right now. I'll put it that way.
Do you think companies, once the bill gets put in place, are going to have like blowout sales?
I don't know. I don't think there's, it's going to, I think the phase out period is right now.
Yeah, you're right. Probably they're not ordering anymore.
Because pro hormones, they did a phase out period where companies did a blowout, you know, like a 2 month blowout sale because the law did not take effect for like 2 months later. But this, we're already in the phase out phase. So I feel like once the bill is passed, boom, it's going to be over right away. So companies
aren't going to be producing any more SARMs. So they're kind of just letting whatever stock they have sell. And then once it's gone, it's gone.
Because pro hormones, if we look at history, pro hormones were still being sold online with credit cards during that window, right? And then when that law actually took effect, they no longer sold them anymore. It was like an overnight thing. So this is we're already seeing credit card merchants not allow you to sell SARMs. eBay and Amazon not allow you to sell SARMs. So it's already kind of in that window right now. So now is the time to stock up.
Our next topic is weight gainer shakes. We had a listener question. He basically said that he knows that weight gainer shakes aren't necessarily the most nutrient dense thing you could consume. But he said, if I'm trying to gain weight, I don't really care about body fat, would taking a mass gainer shake hinder my progress? Steve, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this because you have a background powerlifting, and then I will give my thoughts.
No, I mean, when I was a powerlifter, I never had a weight gainer shake, Trevor. I mean, I don't understand why you would do that. I just ate. I just ate food, bro. I mean, it's one of those things where I feel like a weight gainer shake actually is counterproductive because you'll drink one and then you'll get bloated and you'll feel like shit and then you won't want to eat. And how many times do we see skinny dudes drink these shakes and you ask them, would you eat today? And they're like, oh, I had a shake. And like, okay, what else did you eat? They're like, oh, nothing. Well, it's because they'll drink a shake at 10 o'clock and it'll be 3-4 o'clock and, you know, it kills their appetite for hours because it's so inflammatory and they're farting all over the gym and stuff. So I feel like it's counterproductive. I mean, eat a whole food diet. You can eat like a grass-fed burger, okay? A good quality grass-fed burger and that's solid. That's a solid whole food. It's got a lot of protein. It's got B12. It's got a lot of omegas. And it's going to help you, like, with your goals. It's going to help you during a bulking phase. So this misconception that just because you're a powerlifter that you go around drinking weight gainers and protein shakes all day is just not true. I never did that because they made me feel like shit. And, you know, and look at the ingredients. What are the ingredients in weight gainers? It's all junk. You know, like half the stuff in these weight gainers you can't even pronounce. So why would you put that shit in your body? It makes absolutely no sense. So if you go to the gym, you want to feel good. You don't want to be inflamed. You want to be able to go to the gym and just kick ass, right? You don't want to go to the gym and be gassy and feel bloated and feel like shit. You know, how are you going to work out like that? So it doesn't make any sense.
So here's my advice. If you look at a weight gainer and if you read the ingredients, you know, chances are the first ingredient is maltodextrin, which is basically sugar. And then, you know, they got things like soybean oil to bump up the calories. I understand eating a lot of food can get expensive and it's also difficult. I mean, there's only so much room in your stomach. What I would do instead is buy a pure whey isolate, you know, something really high quality, something that's not going to contain lactose. You're not going to have any issues digesting it. And then get a blender and blend it up. You know, you could take 2 scoops of that protein powder, add in some oatmeal, some natural almond butter, some frozen fruit, some chia seeds, some frozen spinach, you know, blend that all up. You know, it's going to be super calorie dense, especially if you're adding in, you know, a bunch of flax seeds, natural almond butter, thing like that. And then, I mean, you're going to feel way better. It's going to be way more nutritive and it's going to be cheaper too. Because if you think about it, all those ingredients I list are really cheap. I mean, oatmeal is dirt cheap. I mean, flax seeds are dirt cheap. Frozen fruit, frozen vegetables, those aren't expensive. You know, so that's what I would do is, you know, if you want to make a weight gainer shake, make your own. you know, weight gainers really aren't that cheap when you think about it, because I mean, a big weight gainer, it only lasts you like 20 servings. So, I mean, you each serving then costs you like $3 when you really factor it out. So that would be my advice.
So I pulled up a weight gainer off GNC, the most popular selling weight gainer. And I wanted to show you guys what's in this crap. So 2 scoops is a serving. So Trevor, they recommend to drink it with low fat milk. So how many calories do you think those 2 scoops are with milk?
800, 900, around that?
1630.
Wow.
Yep. And like you said, the first ingredient is maltodextrin. So basically, it's just the sugar. And it's got 20 grams of sugar per serving. You know, and that's pretty bad. 250 grams of carbs, which is pretty much all the carbs you're supposed to get for the day. And that doesn't even count the milk. So that's pretty crazy. And I don't see, you know, the body knows the difference between 1,600 calories of a weight gainer and 1,600 calories of turkey, chicken, fish, grass-fed beef, eggs, real food. The body knows the difference. And you'll feel the difference, you know, when you drink these weight gainers. If I were to drink this shit, I would probably throw up. And I think you would too, Trevor. So, because we're eating, you know, whole foods, we're eating quality food. So you got to treat your body with a little more respect than this.
Have you ever tried drinking one, Steve?
Yes.
It tastes like chalk.
Yeah. The last time I drank one, I like dry heaved. This was like, I don't know, 7 years ago. And I just threw the whole thing away. Yeah, I got one for free in the mail, you know, through like a rep company or something. And I drank it. It was like a strawberry flavor. And dude, I like dry heaved. I ran outside, got on my hands and knees and dry heaved that shit. And I was like, I'm never drinking this shit again. I just threw it away. I was like, no thanks.
So our last topic is buying your first house. I actually sent in this topic. I'm going to be viewing a house on Thursday. It's a 5-minute walk to the university. It's a 7-bedroom, 3-bathroom. It's a very old house. So basically you're buying the land and you get the house essentially for free. So what I'm thinking is I'll rent out a couple of the rooms to students. Students, you know, generally are horrible renters and are very, very hard on the property. But I mean, the house is a dump anyways. And their rent payment will basically pay for my mortgage. So I'm curious, Steve, do you own your own house? And then I know a little bit about real estate, but I don't really know about things to look for when purchasing a house. What are some tips? Like, I know you're supposed to look at the roof, the siding. What are some things you look for?
I love the way you say house.
House.
The way you guys say house. I bought my first house. I was very successful at a young age. I bought my first house. I think I was about 20. I bought my first house. And I had 4 homes by the time I was like 26. And I did, you know, I rented them out and stuff. I highly recommend not doing that based on my experiences, because it is a very stressful experience. And, you know, they can really destroy your house. Let me put it this way. Home ownership is highly overrated, because it's basically, people think when they buy a house, they're like, well, I'm paying rent to my landlord and I'm just throwing money away. Well, when you buy a house, you're putting a down payment. You are paying interest on your mortgage. You are paying property taxes. You're paying insurance, homeowners insurance, flood insurance. If the roof has a leak, you got to fix it. If the plumbing has a problem, you got to fix it. You got to, you know, take care of the lawn. You got to pay HOA fees. The fees add up. So it makes much more sense to rent if you are not in a situation where you're going to be staying there for a long time. But if you're planning on having a family, then buying can make sense because you want your kids to have a stable childhood. You don't want to have to move them and stuff. So it's very important to keep the kids in the same place, let them keep going to the same school. It's very stressful to move them. So in that situation, it can make sense to buy a house. In terms of your question, what I recommend, dude, you need to hire a really, really good inspector. And you need to be there for the inspection. And you need to walk around with the guy inspecting everything. And if there are problems in that house, don't be shy to say, you know what, I'm pulling out of the deal. You have every right to do that. When you go to buy a house, you're going to put down a deposit. It's usually like $500. Okay, you just write a check for $500. And then, you know, you're going to do the inspection before you close on the house. So during the inspection, you need to check this stuff. I can't tell you how biased it can be to have an inspection done by someone who knows your realtor, because they're not going to want to fuck the deal up. They're not going to want to piss off the realtor. So you need to hire your own inspector, pay the $250 out of your own pocket. Don't hire who the realtor wants you to hire. And don't be shy to, like I said, pull out, even if it's going to piss off your realtor. So very important. You don't want to buy a headache. And I've been down that road before. A tenant can totally fuck up your house. Thousands of dollars. I had a tenant growing pot in my property. I had a tenant who was supposed to have one small dog, have four large dogs. So you can imagine those dogs, the way they destroyed my house. So it's I don't recommend buying a house to rent. And I don't recommend buying a house if you're planning on moving.
Because, what if you know all the renters personally?
That's even worse. Because what happens if they don't pay you? You're going to kick someone out you know personally? They're going to take advantage of you.
Years, I don't think they would not pay me.
That's even worse, dude. Renting to family or friends or people you know, don't do it. Because what are you going to do, evict them? You're going to evict your friend? I mean, it's like, they're going to come with you with a sob story. Oh, I can't pay rent. I'm going to be late. It's going to drive you crazy. So I wouldn't do it, dude. Do what you want. Been down there, done that. Any amount of money that you think you're going to make in the end is not worth the stress anyway. So I wouldn't go down that route. For you, I would recommend just rent. And then one day down the line, when you're going to settle for sure and wherever you settle, then you can look into buying a house to actually live in. The disadvantage to renting is that if I want to get a dog, I got to ask my landlord. If I want to get a cat, I got to ask my landlord. If I want to, you know, paint the wall, I got to ask my landlord. And the landlord could say at the end of the year, I'm sorry, I'm not renewing your contract. You have to find a new place to live. So it's a little insecure in that aspect. That's one of the disadvantages to renting, but it's hassle-free because if the air condition breaks, if the heater breaks, the roof leaks, you just call up your landlord and they'll fix it for you. But if you own the house, it's all on you, you know? So those are things to think about. I would say if I could go back, I would have never bought any of my homes. I wish I had just rented because I would have saved so much money and so much hassle, and I would have been flexible. I turned down job opportunities because I own a home. I didn't want to have to sell my house and move and do all this stuff. You know, if I would have rented, I could have just told the landlord, look, I'm moving at the end of the year. So here's my notice. See you later, and move. So you want to be flexible, Trevor. If you buy a house where you're living and you get a job in Seattle or Montreal or Toronto, what are you going to do? How are you going to manage that house when you're so far away? You see what I'm saying?
Gave me a lot of stuff to think about, Steve. Good advice. You know, I was thinking like, well, I mean, I can get my mortgage covered by all the renters, but yeah, it sounds like it would be a big hassle. And I mean, I'm so busy as it is now, it'd be just one more thing to add to my to-do list.
If you were to move away and hire like a someone to take care, you know, of the rent for you. You know what I'm saying? Like a property manager. They're going to take you for 1 month's rent and they're going to take you for 10% a month. That's the standard rate. And if a problem comes up with the tenant where you have to evict them, you have to pay the lawyer fees. The property manager doesn't pay for that. The property manager doesn't do anything except collect the rent and then give you whatever. And they will screw you because they'll be like, well, the tenant, this has to be fixed, that has to be fixed. They'll take money out of the rent going to you to screw you. And that happens all the time. I've rented before and I've hired property managers who have done that. And they will do that. And then you'll talk to the tenant and be like, well, the roof is leaking. How come I got charged $600? Like, oh, they never fixed the roof. Well, why did the property manager take $600 out of my rent? Well, they basically did that to pocket it, to kind of screw you over. And it's very hard to prove that they didn't do it. Because now you're saying, who's lying? Is the tenant lying or is the property manager lying? You know, so these are things to think about. And it's all about flexibility, man. Life is all about flexibility. You want to have the luxury of just picking up and moving and not have the stress of owning a home. But like I said, once you settle down and you have kids and stuff, then that would be the time. You know for sure you're going to be there for the next 18 years until the kids go to college. Then you can buy a house. Then it would make sense to buy a house. But you know, don't buy a house if you're planning on moving.
Some good advice, Steve. Anyways, it's about game six is about to start. Winnipeg is up 3-2. This is a home game, so hopefully we win the series and defeat Nashville. I need to go put on my Where's Waldo outfit. For your host, Trevor Caritzen, and for my co-host, Steve Smee, this has been another episode of Evolutionary Radio. Live your life. Look good doing it. Thanks for listening. Thank you.